are trying to utilize influencers to make UGC for you, it's probably going to underperform and you're going to overpay for that piece of asset.
UGC, or user-generated content, has shown to be a great opportunity for D2C brands to build social proof and awareness and ultimately drive sales through things like paid social. Our guest on today's episode, Jenna, is going to walk us through her career transitioning from being a head of growth marketing at Who Gives a Crap to starting her own UGC agency and helping clients drive growth through partnership with content creators.
I started Ostrich. You know what? I was actually just looking. I had my first client about a year ago. And as, you know, kind of like a side thing, it really came out of the need for a little more creativity in my life. So I was the global head of growth marketing at an eco-friendly toilet paper company called Who Gives a Crap. And it was an amazing experience, an amazing company. I worked there for about 4 years. We grew pretty big, and I had a global team of marketers with me. But I found that, you know, as you get higher and higher in your career and you get, you know, take on more direct hires and take on more responsibility, a lot of the actual work that's done is really about moving information along to different people and kind of like tweaking people's ideas. And I really miss the creative side of marketing. And so I found that I took on a few clients just making user-generated content style ads, and loved it. And so decided in August to jump ship and do this full time.
Yeah, and so you worked at Who Gives a Crap at arguably probably the most high demand time ever in the world for toilet paper. Is that fair to say?
I would say yes. It was good to be head of growth marketing at a toilet paper company during the pandemic, for sure.
Yeah. Was UGC, I mean, I've seen their ads. I know they run those types of ads, but was that a big part of the work that you did with Who Gives a Crap?
Yeah, I was in charge of growth marketing. So I was responsible for delivering on all top line revenue. UGC was definitely a portion of the ad sets that we created in social media. But we, you know, played in lots and lots of different channels.
I love it. And I know you said you wanted to go towards the agency just to have more, you know, hands-on with the marketing, like get back to actually enjoy creating with things. You know, when you're starting to work with a new brand and they come on board to work with your agency, what does the beginning stages look like to ensure that you're matching the right creator or the right type of UGC content to that brand?
Yeah, I mean, it always, always, always starts with the customer. And I think in all good marketing, it starts with the customer understanding who you are trying to speak to and what pain points that you have with them and or what pain points you're trying to solve for them, really. And I like to kick off every new client call or relationship with a deep dive into who their core audiences are. I love looking at customer reviews and chatting with the CX team and really understanding what are the main pain points for purchasing and what are the main pain points that the brand is solving for different types of customers. I think gone are the days on Facebook and now TikTok where you can kind of growth hack your way to success. You cannot, you know, change your bidding strategy and your caps and all of those things to grow to a $1 billion business anymore, like we saw in the Dollar Shave Club era. And what you need to do now is really getting back to the roots of what makes a good marketer and a good marketing campaign is truly understanding your audience, speaking to their needs, and creating assets that resonate with them.
I love that. And, you know, all brands should start, or all marketers and all brands should start with that customer research. It's crazy to see how often that gets bypassed or skipped or sped up with things. So it's good to hear that, you know, you're starting with that. And then that feeds into the creative type, right? So you're selecting the content creator basically to align with the ideal customer type, you know, same age, the same geographic area, right? Those types of things.
That's right. That's right.
Awesome. Yeah. And I know one thing that you talk about with content or with creative is using it for your targeting. Now, to unwrap that a little bit, when you're talking about targeting through creative, do you mean like working the algorithm and the algorithm's looking at creative, or are you talking about like aligning the creator with the target persona so they identify with them, or is it both?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, it's really both. You really have to create content that resonates with your audience. That's going to get them to engage, right? So Facebook and TikTok, that's kind of how they're going to choose what's working for your brand. And so making sure that you're creating the content, you know, if you're going after millennial moms, for example, you're casting millennial moms to make the content, and you can see in the background that she has like a bunch of toys in her back, you know, in the back room, and maybe she's driving a Volvo and all of those types of things. You don't necessarily have to say, hey, I'm a millennial mom and I need you to buy this thing. But it's really like other women or other people in that life stage. Oops. In that life stage is really going to kind of resonate and then interact with that ad, which will then give Facebook or TikTok kind of the signals to show more of your ad to that demographic.
Mm-hmm. Spot on. And so you bring on a new customer, you go through the deep dive of their brand, you go through understanding who their audience is. And then I imagine the next stage is creative brief for the creators or creative talent sourcing. What does that process look like?
Yeah, we really work with an awesome team of content creators and copywriters and editors. And I think what's really important when you're making UGC style ads is that what works on organic doesn't necessarily work for paid. When you're churning something into a paid ad, you really need it to be very tight, very visually appealing. It's going to really draw people through the watch time, because everyone is very savvy, you know, as consumers. As soon as you see an ad, you know it's an ad and you see the ad. And so it has to be really attention grabbing. The first, you know, 3 or 5 seconds of the hook have to be spot on. And the way that we do that is we do it all in-house. So we talk to the brand, we look at what their best assets have been in the past. We brainstorm internally with our marketers. We create, you know, the scripts and work with the team to execute against that. And when you work with Ostrich, it's really about, you really get basically a production style, a production house at a UGC style ad. And so we really like to take all of that effort and work off of clients' plates. And at the end of the day, you get really authentic looking ads that convert.
Awesome. And so what's your thoughts on like following organic social trends with the purpose of your creative versus like creating UGC relative to the brand? So, you know, you see like 3 Reasons Why and TikTok Made Me Buy It and beige flags or green flags or all these different trends that go on with organic and then also with paid social. Do you play that into your mix with content that you create, or do you focus on just creating native, you know, UGC review type content? What's your thoughts there?
We spend a lot of time on TikTok, which honestly, it feels in some ways it's like kind of feels good because you're like, I'm working, I have to be on TikTok to look at, you know, tonight. But our whole team really pays attention to the trends, what's working, what's happening on organic, so that we can really emulate that organic feel on the ad side. Definitely 3 Reasons Why is a strong ad format. Problem solution format is really, really strong. Get Ready With Me, all of those types of things that we see on the organic side, we're always looking for new trends that we can apply to the paid side of things.
Yeah, and it sounds like you have creators in-house, like you get the actual raw content and then you can do the editing as you may with it.
Yeah. I mean, to be able to find good UGC or to be able to produce UGC style ads with one person, sometimes it's, I feel like sometimes it's unrealistic, because you make a really good UGC ad, you need to be a really good marketer. So you have to understand the product and what's going to drive and the propensity to buy. You have to be a really good copywriter, because you have to make something sound really good with all the right keywords, with all the right value props, and you have to deliver it. You have to be a good actor, because you have to deliver it in a way that feels organic. And then you also have to be a good video editor, because you have to make it, even if it looks very organic, just general design principles have to be there. You have to understand like what's really going to resonate and drive the viewer through the ad. And so we really tried to find experts in every field, so that at the end of the day, you get it something that feels really, I wouldn't say like overproduced, because that's obviously the antithesis of what we're trying to do, but it's very tight.
Yeah. And so I'd love to know a little bit more about like what your thoughts are on the brief. So, I mean, I've seen different strategies from different people, and we've tested different things as well. You know, you could give them a buyer persona, the creator, give them a buyer persona to go after and give them free reign. You could give them examples of, you know, beige flags or three reasons why, and tell them to create that. You could give them a very strict script to follow and to create off that. What is your briefing best practices, or how do you feel about that whole process?
Yeah, maybe I'm a little bit of like a control freak, but I like to have strict scripts that we follow. Okay. I will kick off all my engagements directly with the client, and then we'll come up with our own, you know, the buying personas. We'll brainstorm internally what we think the best hooks angles are. You know, once we were working with a coffee company, and we found that, you know, their number one reason why people didn't like a purchase was because they needed to get their partner, you know, on board. You're drinking coffee, it's not just you making that decision. And so we created some videos around like blind taste test style ad, where we either were like pranking our couples, or we were doing a blind taste test style, so that it was really kind of like planting the seed to or ways to get your partner on board with high quality coffee.
Interesting. Okay. And so it sounds like instead of, and tell me if I'm off here, but instead of scripting for videos with your creators, you're scripting to get specific shots or shot lists made. So then you can create a video from their content and or what's the term I'm looking for? Like compilation or pieces from different creators. Is that fair to say, or do you feel like you do it like video by video?
We really depends on the creator and depends on their level of comfort with editing. All of our creators work together, and we really think about the concepts first, and then how will we get that concept. We like to share a lot of our transitions and other things that are happening on the organic side, like I mentioned before. We're constantly looking for new trends, new intros, new hooks, new ways of kind of playing with transitions and visually showing different things. And then we always share that information over to our creators and our editors, so that we can just keep our videos feeling really fresh.
Awesome. Awesome. And so what would you say you see brands or agencies doing incorrectly with UGC these days? Like, what do you think is the most common things happening that is just bad with UGC?
I think the first thing is utilizing influencers to make their UGC content. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. And sometimes when you're working with influencers, there is opportunities to turn those into paid ads. But I think they're different. And so if you are trying to utilize influencers to make UGC for you, you're probably going to end up with content that you've paid too much for, because the beauty of working with influencers is that you get access to their audience. And then in order to get access to their audience, they need to be making content in the style that their audience likes. And so if you're going to expect them to make an ad for you, that's going to be purely more of a prospecting that doesn't know the influencer and is now in the ad sphere. It's probably going to underperform, and you're going to overpay for that piece of asset. I think, so that's number one, really getting clear on like the division between influencers and UGC and what the goal of that asset is. Is it to borrow clout and access to someone's audience where the distribution is on the influencer or on the asset or included in the asset? Or is it really like you're just looking for the asset that you're taking on how to distribute?
I love it. Is there any other main things you see brands failing with UGC?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the two main things that I see is that, one, they are not working with creators that feel authentic and feel like genuine when they're either delivering their scripts or talking through the bullet points. They can kind of come off a little bit robotic. And then the second thing is that they overproduce or make their UGC feel a little too branded. And that then immediately kind of ruins the whole point of the UGC asset.
Yeah. Do you ever battle brand guidelines when it comes to kind of navigating clients through the UGC space?
Yes. I mean, and I think all internal marketing teams kind of struggle with this, and I think that's really the value of utilizing agencies as well for doing things like UGC, because they're not so ingrained into the brand as much so that they're given more of the freedom to be able to act as an outsider, which is more like what UGC truly is, to create something that speaks to the brand but not from the brand.
Yeah, that's a problem that we've seen with ads sometimes is like when we're auditing accounts, we'll see it sounds like the brand is speaking their voice too much. Like,
yeah,
you could have a core motivator, like a rational or emotional motivator that is being used in the messaging, but instead of it sounding like it's coming from the actual prospect or like what the motivator is, it's just like the solution of the product and how that product helps versus the actual problem, if that makes sense.
100%. And I do try to make sure that we're guarding that UGC content, because at the end of the day, Ostrich gets graded on the performance of the ad, right? I want to make sure that ad is going to perform for the brand. And so I want to make sure I'm making assets that are going to actually work for them. And so sometimes we do concessions, sometimes we work through a different way. Obviously, you always want to represent the facts correctly. So if something is incorrectly represented, obviously change it. But making sure that there is kind of like a healthy pushback. And I think that all comes down to good onboarding and setting expectations around what exactly you're going to get when you get UGC style ads.
Yeah, 100%. Well, this is good. If you had to summarize UGC or the things we've talked about into a marketing mindset, what mindset should business owners or marketers have when it comes to it?
The mindset is that you're trying to kind of emulate what a testimonial is, either your friend or your, you know, coworker sharing about a product that they like. And so you are now facilitating that experience. And so that mindset has to be kind of like at an arm's distance from you.
And what job role or roles do you think will be in the highest demand for marketers in the next 3 to 5 years?
I think performance creators will be in the highest demand. Where we saw maybe the last decade, it was the growth hackers and the data marketers. This next era is going to be the people that will win in the marketing sphere will be able to look at the data and communicate with their creative team and any agencies and basically produce high-performing creative. So
based off performance and strategy?
I think so. based off of and being able to speak to, you know, the product developers to make sure that the on-site user experience is good, to work on good landing pages, to be able to coordinate with the creators and the creative team, to be able to read the data and be able to understand the trends. All of that has to be kind of like bottled up into what is going to resonate with the audience, and then be able to turn around those types of assets quickly.
I agree. I think that's very, very important. And last question for you here. Where can people connect with you, learn more about your agency, or work with you?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn, Jenna Tannenbaum. I like to post every day about growth marketing and UGC. And you can find my agency at runwithostrich.com.
Awesome. Jenna, this was a good episode on UGC. I appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
And that's a wrap for another episode of the Marketing Mindset Podcast. Our guest brought some incredible insights and strategies to the table, and we hope you feel inspired and ready to take action. Remember, if you don't walk away from each episode with a new marketing idea or strategy, we haven't done our job right. With that said, we love to celebrate those wins. If you saw growth in your career or business from something that you learned on this podcast, please, please, please send me a celebration message on LinkedIn. And don't forget to subscribe to the Marketing Mindset Podcast so you never miss an episode. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on Marketing Mindset.